This is Victory House.
All right, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter number 15. I've started saying number. I don't know. Maybe I picked that one in Nigeria. By the way, Nigeria was really beautiful. Amen. Oh, I had a very, very awesome time there. Beautiful time. And I could feel your prayers. Amen. Luke chapter 15. I'll be reading from verse 11. It's a long read to verse 32. This morning, I want to talk about what I call the heart of a father. Can we echo it? I'll say the heart of a father. Okay, so I'll be reading Luke chapter 15, verse number 11, down to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." Verse 15. Oh, no, 14, right? Okay. "After he had spent everything there, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs." Was there some news that some pig was speaking or something like that? Okay, some people didn't get that joke. But I thought I heard that a pig was speaking, but I think the pig is a false prophet. Because the people he spoke about, they didn't deliver, right? Some people don't understand that. If you don't understand it, just pretend and look forward. It's an inside joke. Luke 15, 16. "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." 17. Verse 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it up on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So he began to celebrate." All right, let's move on. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked that what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered all your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The heart of a father. You see, in life, there are several ways you can deal with people. One of the ways you can deal with people is to deal with your head. to deal in a very logical manner, to deal in such a way that white is white, black is black. There are no gray. It's either white or black. It's either on or off. Very logical. And many times men or the male man, because the word man originally was for all of us. When the Bible created them, it created man. And man, under man, you have male man and you have female man. Okay? All right. So the male man or the man, which we usually call the man, the guys, tend to use his head, tend to be very logical, tend to be just straight shooter, you know, no emotions attached, just always, you know, let's go to the point, let's go straight to the point, and all of that. And some men like that, and there is nothing wrong with that. We need that. We need men who are very principled. We need men who are very logical. We need men who are going to say, this is right, and we're going to stand by it. This is the way to go, and we're going to stand by it. That is a way to deal. And it's not only peculiar to men. Even women, there's, in fact, in many homes, the ladies are more heady in the way they operate. They follow the rules. Sometimes in my own house, I tend to be the person that somehow breaks the rule. God help me. Amen. Because my wife will say, this is what we're going to do. And then I come back and I say, it's okay. Let's just put that aside for today. Let's be merry and glad. Amen. Let's just rejoice and be all dandy. So I do that once in a while. But so there is an approach to life where you deal with things from your head, where you deal with things from the cognitive part of you, where you deal with things from that your own part of you, where you are principled and following by the rules, following through everything based on the rules. But that's not the only way to deal. Or there is another way to deal, or many other ways to be. But the second way I want to just mention this morning is dealing with from your heart. And many, many times, it seems that the male man, it seems they don't deal from the heart. It seems that the male man only wants to deal from the head and not deal from the heart. But it is not true. It is just because society has portrayed the man as the one that should deal from the head. And there are people that even when they have the instinct to deal from their heart, they want to deal from the head because that's how a man is supposed to behave. The man is not supposed to laugh. So even if there's a funny joke, you are still like, especially if the man is an African man, he's not supposed to laugh. He's not supposed to play. He's not supposed to be too cozy with them, with the kids, because then they will disrespect me. And they will not know that life is serious. They will not know that life is you know, is principled. I get all that. I get the fact that life should be principled. I get the fact that life is serious. I even get the fact that life is not a funfair. But life is not that serious. Look at your neighbors. Life is not that serious. Some people are taking themselves too seriously. Look at you booning. When they come into the house like this, everybody will be running. It's like tsunami. You know, when I used to grow up, when I was growing up, you know, for some reason, they didn't just allow me to be playing soccer. So I would start playing soccer, you know, with with all the guys. And then I would spot my dad's car or maybe my mom or somebody that will tell on me coming. And once I spot, I go upstairs, clean up my face, and then try to look all normal and all of that kind of thing, you know. And so many people have made the life around them to look like that. Everybody around you is guarded. Everybody around you has to be serious. I know sometimes I tend to be like that. So sometimes when people are playing too much, take it easy, you know. But let there be moments where you deal with people from your heart. Well, let there be moments when you allow emotions to happen, where you can cry. Can I tell you it's okay for men to cry? Can somebody say amen to that? I've seen great men of God crying before. There was some years ago when my grandmother died. And I mean, as a guy, I didn't even know how to process the emotions because my grandmother, I mean, I have a mom. Some of you saw her. She was here the other time, you know. And she was always there too. But for some reason, I was close to my grandmother for one stage of my life. So she was very, very dear to me. And at that time, before she died, I had gone to work Because I just wanted to bless her. And I wanted to bless her. I know you, most of the money that I get is that she or my mom or my dad that give me the money. So I wanted to work and let it be this, my own sweat that brought. So I was in second year college then. So I was working. The first month I got that job, my salary was supposed to be paid like, say, maybe Thursday. My grandmother died on Tuesday. I was pained. I was angry. I mean, I was. I had an exam, and they had to do some of the burial arrangement. So I didn't know how to process the emotion. So I was. I came in, and I came in late, sadder than most people. You know, I remember seeing our general overseer. He saw me on the way. He said, "Oh, you're bad." So when we got to the funeral, when they gave him the mic, he cried maybe for like 10 minutes. And we all lost it. We all lost it. And many people that see people like him will think that as man of God, as a man that God speaks to, that God tells what he wants to do, that those kind of people should not show emotion. But I know that a strong man is a man that can also deal from the heart. Can I get amen to that? So you are not a big man, or you are not a very principled man because you are always making everybody around you frown, everybody around you be under pressure. You can deal from the heart too. And that goes to ladies too. You can deal from the heart too. In the story that we have just read, one of the things that you can see there is that you can see different hearts there. You can see the way people relate in that story. There were three men in that story, and three of them were relating differently. And I bet you that's kind of an example of our world today. You find men relating in different way, and God is saying to you as a man this morning that there is a way your heart should be. There is a way you should relate to your children. There is a way you should relate to your world, and it's we are going to find out that way in a short minute from that scripture that we read. Let me quickly say this before I move on. That sometimes I believe the man may not get enough accolades. Amen. Some people don't know that. You know, I'm coming from Nigeria. I have to show that I'm coming from Nigeria. Amen. All right. If you are not in Nigeria, you may not know that accolade thing. But it's an Instagram sensation thing, you know. But some men need accolades. Amen. They deserve it. They've paid their dues. Because I'm speaking from my side of things, but I've noticed it's easier for children to be endearing to their mom. Amen. And I get it. I get it. I'm like you too. It's very easy for me to talk to my mom, even till now. You know, it's me and my dad, sometimes we are very transactional. We speak very short words. I mean, I can call my dad in 2 minutes and we have discussed everything. Yes, it's so-so-so. This is so-so-so. This is so-so-so. Boom, we're done. But my mom, we can speak for 20 minutes. Even this morning, she has called me. She said, "I called you. I texted you yesterday. You didn't respond." I even thought she was going to say Happy Father's Day. She just called to find out that I got home safely yesterday. And today is today. Amen. Father will not be body. Yesterday has passed. If you got home safely yesterday, it's okay. It has passed. You know, since I traveled to Nigeria and all of that, my dad is, he knows I'm fine. But a mother will follow you there. She will call you while you are there. When you're on the way, she will call you. That's a motherly nature. But you see, because fathers are very structured and sometimes people of few words, we tend not to admire them. So I would say this, every father deserves some admiration. And it deserves that you show that admiration. I know that, I get the fact that, well, my father is not perfect. I get the fact that my father has this bond. My father has that bond. But you know what all the things I found out? If you are looking for something to admire in somebody, you may likely find it. You might likely find it. When I started growing up, I didn't like my dad. I did not. I will tell you the truth. Amen. I lie not. There was one time I told my friend, I think I was in primary school, I said, "I hate my dad." I used those words. But you know, later on, I started looking for something to find in him. One of the things I admire about my dad prays a lot. Even though when I was younger, I didn't like the way he prays. Amen.
He will wait till night. We will kneel down. Then my dad will now go on a prayer or something. Then he will start praying, and then we'll start sleeping. And if you sleep, the next day he's going to preach about you that some people will be sleeping when we are praying. I'm like, excuse me, sir, why are we not praying when we will not be feeling too sleepy? And why do we have to pray all the prayers? Sir, please pray a little and continue with for us, sir, as our daddy. Amen. So I used to be on a prayer, but as I'm growing up now, I've used that as a source of admiration. I admire his prayer life. I know that there are many things that people can point to that has helped someone like me. But I want to say one thing. I know there are people praying for me. I know that one of the people is my dad. So I admire that. Some of you, your dad may be good with math. Whenever he shows up, he will fix that math problem. Some of you, your dad may have helped you play soccer. May have taught you how to tie it, to knot your shoes or do your tie. Whatever small thing you can find, admire it and let him know. Can I get an amen to that? Don't just admire you from afar. Let him know. Let him know. There are so many people that if they know that the people around them admire them, they will do better. You know, this whole suicide thing is in the air now. I believe most of the people that committed suicide, the people around them did not make them know what they are now saying after those people have committed suicide. Just imagine that some of these people got some of these, all these accolades and stuff that they are talking about them now that they are dead. Imagine if they got a dose of that in their life when they were physically still here. Maybe some of them won't commit suicide. So this evening, morning, I'm telling you and I'm challenging you, find if your father is still alive, your husband, admire something about him. Amen. You know, like this morning when my wife was, I read on Instagram, like, I believe I receive all these things. Oh, amen. When she wrote something, but those things help. Even as pastor, sometimes I need encouragement. Amen. Especially when you are tired, you need somebody to just call you and say, "Pastor, God bless you," and not say anything else. Because some people say, "Pastor, God bless you," and they are like, "Okay, say what is next." And then you just finish everything. There's nothing next. That's a blessing. Amen. God bless you. Amen. So every father should get some form of admiration. Can I get amen to that? And you see one thing about when you admire a father, when you celebrate a father, something drops upon you. In Genesis chapter 27 verse 7, Genesis 27 verse 7, before Isaac could bless his child, he said, "Do me something. Show me some appreciation. Fix me a meal and then I will bless you." There are some of you here, you are saying, "My dad doesn't need anything. My dad is fine." I praise God for that. But do him something that will make him proud, and then he will release a blessing. You know, my dad is turning 70, and I've been doing some things. One day he just called me and was just praying for me. Even if he didn't pray for me, I imagine that some of the things that we are doing may pray for me. Can I get amen to that? So I'm saying this morning that every father deserves admiration. Another thing fathers deserve, respect. Can somebody say respect? Please, if you are married, never talk to your husband in a derogatory way in the front of your kids. Under any guise. Make him look good all the time. Some people say, your father. That, this Nigeria thing should get out of me. Okay. Your father is this and then this. No, the child is not going to go and meet the father and go and say, "Please stop doing that." No. What you are just doing is you are devaluing that man before his children. Oh yes, I know men need help. They need work. But respect him in their presence. Make him a king while they are there. Don't let them say something derogatory about their father and then just pass away and say, "Well, it's not about me." Because some kids would tell their parents that daddy did it. They would just keep quiet. They won't say anything for or against. No, say something for. Say, "No, dad, no, your dad likes you. Oh, he's not here at the soccer game today, but I know he will make it up to you next time. He's rooting for you. He's supporting you." And then when you now go backstage and say, "See, you have to make it up to that kid. You have to do this. You have to do that." But respect him. Respect him. Respect your father. Honor them. Honor your father. The first promise, the first commandment with promise was the promise to honor your parents. Honor your father.
Honor your father. Honor means that you do things because of honor, not because of need. You give them money, you celebrate their birthdays, not because they need it. Because, I mean, some of us, our generation is such that we have a lot of relations and all of that that it may not necessarily need us. I mean, I don't need to give my father anything. The other time, the birthday thing I was talking about, I was talking about food, and he was like, oh, this is how he wants it. I said, Daddy, don't worry, I will take care of it, but I'm not going to pay this much. He now said, pay what you want to pay, I'll pay the remaining. I said, no, okay, don't worry, sir. I'll pay what you want me to do, and all of that kind of thing. The reason we do things to them is not because they need it, it's because we need it. It's because it's good to us. You honor them. If you are a wife, honor your husband, because your husband too is a father figure in your life. You are a child, honor your parents, whether they have or they don't have. Whether they've even been there for you or not been there for you. Can I get amen to that? Your relationship to your father is not a response to his relationship to you. It's a response to the responsibility God has put on you. You don't respond to him because he has been a good father. You respond to him because God told you to honor him. Because when God told you to honor him, God did not put the precondition of him doing well. God knows that he will mess up. God knows that he will not live up to that expectation. God knows that your husband will mess up. But God is saying that you should give that respect irrespective of what they have done. Because some people will say, well, if my father was like your father, I would respect him. I would celebrate him. No, it doesn't have to be that. You sow the seed. You leave him and God to deal with what he has done with you. He will respond to God for that. But make sure you don't respond to him based on the way he has done to you, especially if he didn't treat you too well. Don't respond like that. Try to honor him. I know it may be painful. As we pray today, I believe every form of hurt, of father abuse, of child abuse that people have experienced, be healed in the name of Jesus. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, God even was saying, look, if I'm your father, I will receive honor. Because the responsibility of a son, of a child, is that they will honor their father. Malachi 1:6, that a son honors his father. What every father should get is admiration. What every father should get is respect. What every father should get is prayers. If there is a man in your life, you have a husband, you have a father, pray for them, sir. You have a pastor, pray for them, sir. You know, sometimes there's so much responsibility on you that sometimes the responsibility makes you be under pressure. And your decision making can be under pressure because of the amount of responsibility is on you. I've held mic before in places where, because of the responsibility of that mic and the number of people there, will just make you forget everything. Amen? You know, when you see the kids, when they line up here and there's a kid that seems that they are not saying anything, it's not because they don't want to say anything. But see the responsibility. All your face is a responsibility to that kid. So the kids is looking like this. Ah, look at this person's face. And they are not even smiling. I don't even know them. You know, so that responsibility puts pressure on the kid. So the kid can want to say A and then it is just remembering only Z. So similarly for fathers, there are many fathers. Everybody is saying, what do we do now? What do we do now? So I mean, it's not all the time he knows what to do. Everybody is coming to the pastor. Pastor, they give you 10 things. And they say, what do we do now? What do we do now? So people like that need a lot of prayer. Because you see, if they make a mistake, it affects a lot of people. If your father makes a mistake, it will affect a lot of people. Do you know there are people that are still suffering today because of a lack of judgment from their father? Because there is something called genes, and that leads into generations, and that can flow to you, whether you are near somebody, whether the person is near you or not. Something about genes flows in a very interesting way. You will see a father who is given to anger, and nobody pray for him, and that same anger, as unphysical as anger may look, anger seems to be an emotional response, right? You'll be wondering, why is a child responding exactly like his father? Because it can be transferred. That's why fathers need prayer, sir. Because you see, what they carry on their head starts going down. What they carry on their head, they start to transfer it. That's why you should not just look at your husband and say, yeah, yeah. What did I just say now? Okay, what's the English version of that?
I need to come back to the U.S. Amen. You don't just look at yourself and say, knucklehead. That's the English version of it. Yeah, yeah. Knucklehead. Yeah, look at you. Look at how you're made. You know what you're doing? You are putting pressure on that head. And you know what is going to happen? Your children too will get some of those things that you are depositing on his head. So what do? You pray for him. So every father deserves our admiration. They deserve our respect. And they deserve our prayers. Now, when you do all of this, fathers will be able to do what God made them to do. Every father was made to be a father that will give legacy. In the story we read, you saw that the father was supposed to have inheritance for his children. He was supposed to have something that he was supposed to leave behind. Of course, somebody came ahead and said, give me my own before you disappear from this world. I want it now. But we see from that story that one of the responsibility of a father is to be a man of legacy. And I'm speaking over every man in this house this morning. I declare your legacy will be good in the name of Jesus. Let me run through some kind of legacies that every man should give to his children. Whether you are married here or not, everything you are doing, you are leaving a legacy. Everything you are doing, you are preparing a road for somebody or blocking the road for somebody. You are making a ladder for somebody or breaking the bridge for somebody to go up. There are some fathers, they have messed up the future for their children, that their children will be starting from negative. There are some fathers, they have made the future good for their children, that their children will be starting from positive. I was having a conversation with an African-American lady the other day, and she said something that struck me real good. She said many black men, when they die, they leave nothing. She said many white men, when they die, first of all, from the life insurance policy that they left, they'll be able to have a good burial, and the children will have extra. And so that child will start off from positive. So that's why sometimes it's hard for some of these people to understand the amount of poverty that we talk about in some black communities. Because what happened to them is that 3 generations now, 6 generations now, have let people have positives. So they've started on 6 generations of positives. So it's easier for them to get a head start in life. Where somebody is starting from negative, is still breaking, you know, all kinds of things. But I'm declaring over every father here, your life will leave positives for the generation coming after you. If you believe you say a bigger amen. So what kind of legacies should fathers leave? Number one, a legacy of service. Oh, the heart of a good father, we will see it in service. Service. Sometimes you come to a church, you see a lot of ladies doing everything. No, it's not supposed to be. We need to see men step up. I don't like the fact that when we say worship team, it looks like the ladies worship team. Amen. No, where are the guys? When we say children's church, it looks like the ladies' children's church. Where are the guys? Oh, pastor, you don't understand. We understand what? What about the ladies? They are busier than you. They are busier than you. They wake up earlier. Sometimes you are like, these people, are they human beings or something? Superwoman, amen? They do all kinds of things. They cook your food. They get the kids ready. They still do every other thing. And then you say the food is not delicious. Yeah, if it's not delicious, go and make it delicious. God help you, amen? So we need men to leave a legacy of service. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua, amen. A man leading his family. Joshua, a man leading his organization. He said this. He said, as for me and my family, the responsibility of service for the family rests upon the man. You can take initiative and say, for me and my family, we will serve God. And I will show that service first of all. I will be the one to serve. I will show up in church. I will serve in church. You see, many people say, well, children, they come to church, they don't do, after a while, they don't want to serve God. Because one of their greatest role model, whether they want it or not, they didn't see that role model serving God. I have heard people say things like this. I was raised in church, but I've not been to church in a while, but I want to send my children to church so that they will learn some of the things that I learned, but me, I will not come. Can I tell you the truth? Though you send them to church, because you didn't lead the way, they will go to church physically, but church will not come into them. So that's why.
Okay, I was when I saw Euphrates, I'm like, what's going on there?
He said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
So what kind of legacy should you leave, ladies and gentlemen? The legacy of service. Service in the house of God. Please don't come last in the house of God. Don't be men that stroll into church at 11:30 and feel comfortable. Amen? I know, you know, you think I will stop with admiration and accolades alone. I'm coming for you.
Don't be men that would say, they will be begging you, please, please. No, don't do that. Get involved. Oh, I don't know what I can do. Then make something happen. What I can do, they don't have it in this church. You find it. Do what you can do and bring into the church. Create a department by yourself. I can tell you that. I can speak for all the pastors here. If there's a department inside you now, if you come and meet us after the service, the department will start running from next week Sunday. Can I get amen to that? Some of you are here. You have been coming to this church for 1 year now. You have not done anything here and you are comfortable. You don't know what you are doing. You are leaving a legacy of a child showing up in church and not clapping and not singing. You know, sometimes kids will come to church, they just be playing around, just be drawing, diddling, and all that kind of thing. And then it's like God is just like a fairy tale to them. Because their father too is like that. You know, it's just, as a man, I don't have to show emotion. When I come to church, when they say we should clap our hand, I'll be looking as if, God, do you really need me to clap my hand? I can clap my hand in my mind, you know. I'm a man, you know. And then they say you should dance. You are dancing as if, no, the dance is 1,000 per step. Oh, come on. God is asking you that a real man will leave a legacy of service. Service in the house of God. Service at home. Amen. 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 A real man will serve at home. You will wash the dishes too. Amen. If you don't have a dishwasher, if you have a dishwasher, you put it in there. And when it's washed, you take it out from there. Because some people, because there's a dishwasher, you just put it in there and expect that automatically the thing will wash itself. And then when it washes itself, bring itself out, arrange itself. No, no, no. You have to be of service. You should do groceries. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You should do groceries. You should be helpful at home. You should be domesticated. Some men are very useful everywhere else except their house. Useless. Once they come to their house, they'll say, in my house, I am the king. Yes, there are seven kings. Amen. There are kings that walk. There are kings that use their hand. There are kings that help. There are kings that ask, how can I help? Can I bath for the kid? Can I change the diapers? Can I get amen to that? Even if you are a pastor, you can change diapers. You know, sometime the other day I was saying I've not changed diapers, but it has been changing now. Amen. Because God knows I will preach like this. He's giving me opportunity to change diapers, and I take it. Amen. Don't pity me. He's allowed. So you have to leave a legacy of service in the house of God. You have to leave a legacy of service at home. Serve at home. Let your children see that you too can walk. You too can serve. Because you know what you are doing to them? You are making them know that as a man, you can walk. As a man, you can know how to cook. Some people say, I'm a guy now. I'm a man. So what? Who told you men don't cook? Pastor Tuyosi's dad used to cook. The mom never cooked. Am I saying the truth? In fact, then, when I saw him for the first time, it's not that he cooks occasionally. He's the cook of the house. The wife does not cook. He's the one that goes into the kitchen to cook. And he had a lot of girls. We cook. Sometimes we say, Pastor Emmanuel, I have something for you. And I'll get there. It's soup. I say, ah. So when I was a bachelor, I will pray like this. I say, I want to be like that man. God is still helping me. Amen. I'm still an occasional cooker. But at least I saw that a man can cook for the whole family. That's what he does. It's like when ladies are the ones always cooking for you, he is the one always cooking for everybody. God will help all of us. I don't know if I should pray that for you, because even me myself, God is still helping me. But you get the drift. It is that you should not be useless at home. Don't come home all tired and then you are useless. You are just sitting there and being the chief in charge of remote control, flipping channels. And then you hold the remote and become the mom, remote possessed. Amen? You know, some people can be remote possessed. No other person can watch anything because you have shown up. I remember one day, one of my sons started, I just took the remote. I not even flipped it. He just started crying. No CNN, no CNN. He knows that once that he holds the remote, it's CNN, CNN. He just started crying. No CNN, no CNN. I said, God help me, man. But you get what I'm saying. A father, a true father, will be of service at home. He will also be of service in the community. It will be of service in the community. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time that you go out there. You see, church and church people, we have secluded ourselves too much. Very soon, I think there's something being planned, something community service coming up. If you're a guy and you're a true man, if I don't see you there, I will change my view about you. But you get what I'm saying. You need a legacy of service in the house of God, in your own home, in the community. What other legacy that does a man need to give? A legacy of example. A legacy of example. Legacy of service. Legacy of example. Can I tell you the truth? The reason as a man that you do some things is not entirely because of you. Some of the reasons are because of your children. There are some times, there are some things I have done not just because of myself. I remember that I have children. I remember that I have people in church, spiritual people that look up to me and call me father. And I tell myself, you can't do that. You cannot do that. Because you don't represent only you. It's not all about you. There are people that you will mess up their life. There are people that you will destroy their future if you do this. So a father should ingrain it upon himself that I want to leave a legacy of example. I don't want people to be lying when I'm dead. You know, some funeral ceremony is full of lies. Everybody just say, "Father, he was a good man." And inside his mind, say, "Ah, shame to bad person." He was a good man, but he was in your mind. Your mind was just saying, he's a terrible man. Thank God he's gone. Good riddance to bad rubbish. But God wants you and I to have a legacy of example. Look at this scripture. John chapter 13 and verse 15. John 13 and verse 15. His father is this way, I can preach everlastingly. Amen. Aren't we going to eat after a year? That's what people do on Father's Day, right? So I can preach. And I've not preached in a while now. Amen. All the messages that I've missed, I need to make it up today. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Not your neighbor, say, get ready. Pastor is taking us on a ride. After 30 minutes, I'll start rounding up. World Cup, World Cup. Most of your teams, they have not won now. So they say the pig was prophesying. That's where you should know people are deluded. They say a pig was prophesying. And they say the match yesterday, Nigeria and this thing will turn out something. I said they should not have listened to a pig. A legacy of example. John chapter 13 and 15. He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you're a father or a mother or you are not any of that yet, we need to live lives of examples. Examples where people can do as you are doing. Where people can say they want to be like you. I'm always excited. I mean, I hope he knows what he's saying. When one of my sons says something like, he's always excited when they say he looks like daddy. Maybe he just likes the way I dress. Maybe that's why. But I hope it's more than dressing. I hope it is. I just like this man. I want to be like my dad. That is how you should live your life. You should live your life in such a way that your children want to be like you. Your children want to be like you. Jesus was telling his disciples that as a father to you guys, I have lived my life in such a way that I have given you an example for you to follow. So whenever you are doing things, remember that your actions are becoming a model for another generation. Whenever you are talking anyhow, remember your actions are becoming a model. Whenever you come to church and you don't participate and you are looking all over the place and you are playing with Facebook on your phone, remember that your actions are an example to your children. Because I know sometimes guys will come to church, look very serious on the iPad, but it's Facebook. And also, some people will even be playing game in church. That's a bad example. Because if you are playing game in church, you think your child will not come to church and be listening to the message. What's your example? He didn't see that model from anywhere. Children will rather do what they see you do than see what you tell them do. So that's why I challenge you. Be an example. Be a legacy
of example. Because you see, the Bible was saying in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he says, look, it is not possible for you to export what you don't have at home outside. If you are not behaving well at home, what will happen is that every child you export from that home, they are liable not to do well. Let open it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 is my own interpretation of that scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, anyone who does not provide for their relative, especially for their household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Oh, meaning that anyone who is not an example to his children, to an example to his family members, is not even a believer. He cannot export, you cannot expect to have believers from that home or children raised and children that will honor God from that home, because that man is not living as example. But I believe every man seated in this house this morning, God is making you an example to your generation in the name of Jesus. Let me begin to round up. What other legacy should you leave, or should you be modeling to your children, whether you're a man or a woman? It's a legacy of the blessing. A legacy of the blessing. If there's anything that a parent holds, is the power to speak and it will happen into their child. The first opportunity to impact a child is in the name. And it is the parents that give the name. Most of the time, it is the father that gives the name. So that means God has reserved some right of attorney. God has reserved some powers and he has given it to parents. I celebrate pastor because I am a pastor. Amen. I celebrate men of God because everybody around me, the other day I was trying to find out anybody that is not a man of God. I'm like, ah, God help me, man. Maybe I need to start finding some other people to become part of my family. So I come from a family of men of God. I celebrate that. But can I tell you that the blessing of a father is very potent? If your father bless you, it's likely to happen. If your father curses you, it's very likely to happen. So the blessing of a father is very important. So every father must become a father that is living the legacy of a blessing. Because what parents say to their children and about their children is very important. And more important is what parents continually say about their children. Watch what you are saying over your children, because it will happen. Watch what you are saying over their lives, because it will happen. Because you are an authority figure. You are one of the first authority figures that they meet. And when you say it, heaven is hearing it. And because of the law of compound effect, the more you say, the more it happens. When a teacher tells your child that child does not know math or whatever, and don't repeat it. Don't join them. I am not saying deny the fact. I am not saying say, oh well, they say you don't know English, but you know English. Case settled. Just be going and you know English. No, that's not what I'm saying. You help them to know the English. You help them to know the math. But what I'm saying is that don't tell them you dullard, you dull head. You don't even know English. You don't even know math. The more you say to that child, the more it becomes the reality of that child. In Genesis chapter 49, reading from verse 1. Genesis chapter 49 from verse 1. I love the way the Bible put this scripture. This is Jacob speaking here. Jacob wanted to pray for his children. Look at how he coined the word. Jacob was about to pray for his children, and he was saying that his prayer for the children will be their reality in the future. You know that it's not only Jacob that is like that. Every father, this is the honor that God has given you. When you are speaking over your children, you are telling what will happen in their future. You see what the scripture says here. He says, then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. Let me tell you what will happen to you in days to come. What the prayer in my mouth that I'm going to pray over you is what will happen to you in days to come. Can I tell you what will happen to your children in days to come? The things that you have been saying over them, the words that you have been saying when you were hungry, the words that you have been saying when you were not very happy, the words that you have been saying when you were broke, those are the things that will happen to them. The more you say the negative things, the more it will happen to them. So watch what you are saying. As a father, you have to leave the legacy of the blessing, because what you say will happen to them. What you say will happen to them. Let somebody get on the keyboard. I'm about to round up. So the heart of a father, we see that heart playing out in a father understanding that he needs to leave a legacy. And we see that the legacy in different fashions or different ways. We see a legacy of service. We see a legacy of the blessing. We see a legacy of example. But you see, sometimes these things are so hard as a man to make happen. They are hard as a man to make happen because there is a fundamental issue. There is an issue of the heart. There is an issue that comes that you produce based on what is in your heart. You produce on how the temperature of your heart is. So how can you recondition that temperature? How can you be that, like in the story of the prodigal son that we just read, that you are not the one with the heart of the prodigal son that just wastes everything and takes the father's inheritance and squanders it? Or you are not the other child, that other son, that can't receive the fullness of what God has for them? That even though they are near things, they can't enjoy and experience what they are near. How can you be that father? How can you have that heart? How can you have that heart of compassion? How can you have that heart that will reach out to a child, that will reach out to that child in a low state and be able to say, I will leave you a legacy of example. I will leave you a legacy of service. I will leave you a legacy of the blessing. How can you do that? You can do that by connection to the Heavenly Father. You can do that by connection to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 27, he said, no man can receive anything except to be given from above. No father can have the power, can have the grace, can have anything except to be given. So having this heart, the heart of a father, the father that leaves legacy, it is not a function of decision. It is not even a function of determination. It is a help from heaven. It is something that happens from heaven. It's a connection with heaven. In fact, look at Jesus here. Jesus was saying in John chapter 5 and verse 30, John chapter 5 verse 30, he says, I can do nothing. He said, what I am doing is what I hear. As I hear the Father, I judge. So the reason I am effective is because I am connected. And I'm saying this morning, your connection to the Heavenly Father will determine how you will live as a father here. If you are not connected to the Heavenly Father, if you are disconnected from the Heavenly Father, you are not going to be an effective father. It does not matter how many books you read. It does not matter how determined you want to be determined. You need help from above, because down here things go all over the place. But when you are connected to the Heavenly Father, something will happen to you. It will make sure that you will raise children, that you will leave a legacy. You will raise children, that the children will be proud of you down the line. You will raise, people will be around you and they will thank God for your life. They will celebrate God for the day that they met you. If you are here this morning, you are a father, you are a mother, you are whoever you are this morning, I want you to bow down your heads this morning, and I want you to talk to God.